Happy Monday, everybody. This is the early bird edition of the the sermon, because we're going to be having some bird later this week, hopefully, unless you're vegetarian and then
But which is very fitting to this.
That's very true. So this is our opportunity to just talk through some things from this past Sunday's sermon. I am Pastor Ben here with Pastor Matt, and we were looking at Acts 15 and some conflict happening, a couple different kinds of conflict happening really in that chapter for the early church. I think we are in agreement that we can start talking about conflict.
Yeah. I'm not conflicted to talk about conflict. A lot of people are, though.
That's true.
Nobody likes to talk about conflict.
Yeah, because nobody wants to deal with
it.
Correct. It's easier to either ignore it or just pretend like you're always right.
Yeah.
Which is hard when you all are always right. But
and that's part of the conflict we have is I'm right, you're right, and it's just conflicts for days. This is why it's important to celebrate Festivus and the airing of grievances, which is coming soon. I mentioned it on Sunday. There is this temptation. I really do think it's a temptation to seek and pursue church utopia and the idea that we can have a kumbaya, everything is fine. We know it's not a perfect church, but everybody's happy and joyful with one another. And that's just not the reality. The church is not immune to conflict. It's not immune to disagreements. And the early church has them. And we've talked about a few of them up to this point. But now how does the church handle conflict? So in this text, a big issue for us, it doesn't look serious, but it's a very serious issue for Jewish Christians. They are wanting to know, and there's been some false teaching here that gets corrected. What do the Gentile believers do? Do they fall in line and become Jews? Because even in verse 1, it says, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And the adult Gentile men are like, absolutely not. We're saved by faith, not by, we don't need a circumcision. So that statement there in verse 1 is, they are saying it's salvation, it's Jesus plus this. And it's a very serious conflict. Now, how Peter and James and Paul and the apostles address this is a model for us to how we are to address serious theological disagreements and serious theological concerns and problems. And so they address it with discernment. They address it with questioning. They address it with grace and love. And eventually, through just studying it out and studying scripture, Peter proclaims the decision they landed on, which is what God's word taught. They solidified their stance biblically. And Peter says, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. And then he encourages the Gentiles to not reject the law, really. But he says, hey, our encouragement for you is to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from what's been strangled, from blood. Hey, there are some good things to God's law. But as we see in the Sermon on the Mount, it's been elevated because of Jesus. And he encourages the Gentiles to not abandon God's commands, but to lean into them because we've been saved by grace. And as they handle this, they address it, and people rejoice that God is doing a work in the Jews and the Gentiles. And then at the end of the chapter, we see a sharp disagreement between Paul and his good friend and mentor, Barnabas. Paul wants to go to visit the brothers where they've planted churches. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, and Paul thought it was best not to take the man who withdrew from them. And was like, he abandoned us? No, he doesn't need to go. And Barnabas sees that Mark should go. They're separated because of this. And we talked about how that I don't think either of them are in the wrong here. I think the Lord used this moment to put them on different paths to continue proclaiming. Because then from there, Paul and Silas have a great partnership. In fact, you could even say this is multiplication that takes place. More people are sent out. It's not just two going in one direction. It's now four going in two different directions. And We don't know the outcome between Paul and Barnabas, but we can make some good, I think, assumptions where we see later in Scripture that Paul is praying for Barnabas. He also tells Timothy later on in his, at the end of his life, hey, bring John Mark to me. So I think sees the good in John Mark, and Paul sees the good in going to the churches and not. And I think in wisdom, they agreed to disagree and went their separate ways. And through all of this, they're modeling how we deal with conflict and disagreement within the local church body.
Yeah, I think the contrast at the beginning of the chapter where these statements are being made by the Pharisees and saying those, they're quoting themselves,
yep.
Right? They've decided this is what the law means. And so the cure to that is the use of Scripture.
Yep.
And I think that's, it's certainly not a new, we always have to go back to Scripture and compare it to what man is saying.
Correct.
We can't just get on TikTok and take, oh, this is Pastor so-and-so, and he said this, so that must be true.
Correct. It's got to be grounded in Scriptures. When you're dealing with any type of conflict and you're not looking at Scripture, you're poorly handling the conflict. There's been many times where we've had to address some things. And we have to stop. Okay, what does Scripture say about this? What we're praying through it. And so if you're having an issue with your conflict at work, conflict with your spouse, conflict with your kids, disagreements, division, the Scripture may not give you a direct answer like it does in this case, but it will point you in the way you are to handle this disagreement charitably, graciously, patiently. And if you're not handling it scripturally, then you're handling it poorly. And because of that, there's this issue with that. One of the things that irks me is people who always have to be right. And they will, the answer could be slapping them in the face and they will not humble themselves to realize they're wrong. And I struggle with this where I have to just pause and say, okay, what's the answer? What's right? And what's right comes from Scripture. And what is true comes from Scripture. And so in some cases where Scripture doesn't give an answer and it's a difference of opinion, like we see at the end of this chapter, then we could say, hey, brother, we agree to disagree. We can go our separate ways. And that's fine. But too often we plant our feet even deeper and we want to keep swinging and punching. And until our opinion is proven, is taken as gospel.
Yeah. And the irony of wanting to pretend like the church is a perfect place, but then also the posture of it's a perfect place because I know what it's supposed to be. It's a total disillusioned
correct
way of living.
Right. Yeah. And I,
and so then when it, there is conflict and then you go, oh, I guess I got to leave this place because it's not the place that
correct
it's supposed to be.
And there's good like if there's a theological issue, a major theological issue, then, and that's not being corrected. All right. But a lot of the conflict we have is differences of opinion and unwilling to continue doing the work of the Lord together. In some cases, Romans 12, 18, 17, if possible, live peaceably with all, means, hey, at sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. And you live at peace with one another best you can. In some cases, it's not, and it's difficult because it hurts. No one wants to be stabbed in the back by someone that proclaims to be a Christian. It's infuriating. And I could share a host of examples.
So that's our other podcast called Airing Your Grievances.
Correct. And that's...
It's a private podcast.
Private podcast. Yeah.
But I think even it's not... In verse 39, it's a sharp disagreement. It's a...
Correct.
It's a hurtful thing
correct
that happened there. It's not just some little...
These two brothers thing spent a lot of time together, traveling the world. And it was big enough disagreement to separate. Mm. And I just, I you can see the hurt in them. We don't know if they ever see one another again, but Paul later does say, pray for all the saints. And I think he's got to be keeping Barnabas in mind here. You just don't forget your mentor.
Yeah. So we hit on some of the things that we talked about as far as some of the different things we should get in conflict, right? Being sure that we agree, whatever we're talking through agrees with Scripture.
Yeah.
To see these conflicts are opportunities to grow.
Yep.
On both sides.
Yeah, whether it's personal development or spiritual development, a discipleship issue. So they could have, the way the Jerusalem Council could have been handled was could have been thrown these brothers out the door for teaching this, but they walked them through Scripture. This is the beauty of discipleship. So it irritates me when I hear people will say, man, they have terrible theology. I'm like, well, have you taught them correct theology? Have you sat down, just shown them from Scripture? Like, I'm going to leave a life group because someone, I don't like that person's theology. That's ridiculous. Come alongside of them and just say, hey, do you know why this is wrong, what Scripture says? But also check your heart and make sure you don't, you're just not the, I have a lot of opinions on how this is handled. And I think some people think they're God's gift to the church in handling and having the knowledge of everything. And they can't, they ruin relationships because they have no idea, they're not patient, they're not gracious, they're not loving, they're not kind.
Well, and we see the result of the process of after having sat through it, talked through it, compared to Scripture, presented it clearly, we see that it encourages the church.
It does, and it brings them joy. This is the patient walking through Scripture with the goal of Christian unity. And it's a joy to behold, hey, their doctrine changed in and out, aligns with Scripture. Paul and Peter have disagreements. This is why I said conflict is an opportunity for growth. We're all trying to be more like Jesus. And so to come at someone harshly, to come out, you're wrong, you're ridiculous. I've seen it pastor watching people who are right mistreat someone who doesn't know they're wrong. And that person who is wrong walks away because of the way they were. And in my opinion, you've butchered an opportunity for growth. And it's important that we handle this with a desire that speaking the truth in love, graciously, patiently, and clearly as best we can.
Yeah. And again, that's true with all conflict. We're seeing that being played out here in the early church, but that's just familial conflict or work conflict.
Yeah.
As Christians, this is the recipe, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Right? This is the process. This is the way, the approach that should be taken.
And then you even see in verse 31, and when they had read the letter, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. I want to handle conflict with encouragement, whether it's with my kids, with friends, with church members. There's always a conversation that needs to be had with someone that just, it's just, hey, I want to bring this to your attention. Here's why this is an issue. This is what Scripture says. I'm thankful for the Lord's work in your life. And I hope if I can help you overcome this, if I can help you work through this or help you see, please let me know. A soft answer turns away wrath. Instead of sitting and they're like, how dare you're an idiot. You know, I'm like, I just completely dismiss those people, which is my own pride issue that I have, where people aren't willing to set their pride aside to listen to the other side because they always have to be right. Even if they are right, they're more concerned about winning the debate or the argument than they are the person. And that's not what we see here. They want to win the person over to them. And so Paul and Peter and brothers, the language they're using, it is, hey, we want to win you over instead of just casting you out. We have a lot to learn from the Jerusalem Council as a local church, as a body of believers, that if we could just, and this is not an answer that happens overnight. And that's where you need to come to a different conclusion right now. You've had, this is, we're getting it, we're soapboxing here a little bit. I know that there are some theological truths that I've worked on for decades, just, or a decade of just navigating it. And then I believe this. I can't expect someone then to come to the same conclusion after a 15-minute conversation. And if I do, then I'm not giving them the same grace that was shown me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's first hand. Why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of disciples?
Correct.
That neither our fathers or us were able to bear.
Yep. And you're talking, and this is the Protestant Reformation is going to have the same issue here of we believe that we are saved through grace of the Lord Jesus, as they will. A very similar issue they're going to have. So this is not just some surface level issue they're dealing with. This is if y'all don't come to the same conclusion, there's going to be some church discipline because aren't even saved situation here.
Mm-hmm.
And they still handled it. They didn't fight. They didn't bring out the pitchforks. They didn't cast names, brothers, encouragement, rejoicing, unity, patience, kindness, grace. Coming from the lips of a man who chopped an ear off of someone after they came at Jesus. So look at the Holy Spirit working this. It's just really cool. And he could do the same in us.
Yeah. Good stuff. If you are in agreement, I think we can probably wrap this one up. Any other last thoughts?
I think it's a reminder that we take any theological disagreement seriously and charitably. And when we have personal differences of opinion, that we do so seriously and charitably, and then ceasing not to pray for one another. We can't have church utopia here on earth. We can reflect the splendor of and grace of Jesus as best as we can.
Yeah, it's, again, conflict is inevitable, but our response to it, we have the burden to choose to do it in the right way and be led by the Spirit as we work through it. We will look forward to having some time off. Hopefully you are getting to spend time with family and friends this week. Another place where you might find some conflict.
Yeah.
And so hopefully this is encouraging to you and being able to deal with that if that's part of the dynamics for you. But we will look forward to gathering again on Sunday. And if you didn't already pick it up, we do have the Everyday Gospel Christmas devotional that starts on December 1st, which I don't know how it's already almost December.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great Christmas season and just looking forward to some special events coming up. So keep your eyes posted for that. Travel safely. And again, just if you ever need anything, just don't hesitate to reach out to me or Pastor Matt. And yeah, enjoy football and turkey and pie, and then pie again the next day and turkey again the next day, and just the ever-flowing blessings of the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right, we'll see you on Sunday.